The text is the gospel reading from Luke chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonius and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, and every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. Here ends the text. The voice is a singing competition based initially on only the person's voice. A person sings to the backs of four judges. They have 90 seconds to decide if they will turn their chair, indicating they want that singer on their team. The gospel reading took about 150 seconds to read. Did you turn your chair? Is your chair turned toward a voice that hadn't sounded for hundreds of years? After going dark for about 400 years with no further word from God than what we have in our Old Testament, the word of God came to John in the desert. The voice didn't sound in the temple where the Old Testament church was headquartered. It didn't sound in Jerusalem where the state presided, and didn't sound in an easy to get to populated area, but in a desert where you had to do more than turn to hear it. He had to travel. This word to John was preliminary to the word made flesh appearing. In the words of Hebrews 1, John was the last of many and various ways God spoke in the past before these last days, speaking to us in his Son. And this voice is rooted in history. If you think the Quran, the Veda, or the Book of Mormon, or another book that claims to be divinely revealed truth, is on equal footing with the scriptures, then you have more regard for the History Channel than you do history. Did you turn your chair enough to hear how ponderously Luke dates the voice in history? The dating of John's appearance follows the manner of the ancient historians. Check it out. You can find the references in the written text. Check it out on the internet. You can just type in those references, and Thucydides, Polybius, and Josephus will pop up, and they date things just like Luke. The voice of John is one of the hinges on which all of history turns, so much so that God dates it no fewer than six different ways. British historian Sherwin White said, quote, that the internal coherence of the lengthy formula cannot be challenged for accuracy. In the words of Paul, the voice you heard didn't sound in a corner apart from world history, but it is history. In Peter's words, when we turn towards the voice of Luke or John, we aren't following cleverly devised fables. Nope, we're following history. And we're seeing the fulfillment of Daniel chapter 2. Daniel predicted that God would send a kingdom to bring to an end all worldwide earthly kingdoms. Here, Luke lists from top to bottom the ruler of the known world, the local Roman governor, the four regional authorities appointed by Rome, and the head of the Old Testament church. But the voice of Luke doesn't focus or speak about them or even John. The voice speaks of the king coming who is King of Kings. Is your chair turned for this voice? A voice that was foretold 800 years before it sounded? With the exception of people, we tend to revere anything old. A vase that is 800 years old, well, that's something to see. An ancient dwelling from 1218, that's a sight to see. The Magna Carta is 803 years old, and it remains one of the most famous documents in the world. Well, the Isaiah scroll that is part of the Dead Sea find of the 1940s, that's over 2,000 years old. and it speaks about the coming of the voice that we just heard in the gospel. But the voice of John speaks about someone else. And here's where it gets really good. The voice speaks about Yahweh of the Old Testament coming in Jesus of the New. We hear this when the voice changes what Isaiah wrote 800 years before. Isaiah wrote, "Prepare the way for Yahweh, make straight paths for our God." John changes it to, "Make straight paths for Him." And who the Him is? Well, that's revealed to be none other than Jesus, born of Mary. Yahweh is coming to His people. The one who walked with Adam in Eden, met with Moses on Sinai, Elijah on Horeb, was David's shepherd and Abraham's shield, is none other than the Jesus John is sent to prepare the way for. Don't hear the voice as modern people do, as some fairy tale, a good story, a nice narrative. Hear it as what it is, history, the historical account of God Almighty coming to His people in the person of Jesus. And before He gets there, like an earthly king does, He sends His herald out in front of Him. Luke says the voice went into all the country around the Jordan, heralding a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Anybody who is not walking in repentance is walking outside of their baptism. Baptism does not protect those living outside of it. And you are living outside of it if you are excusing your sins, defending your sins. Even if you're promising to do better from now on, you're still walking on dry, dusty land. You're not swimming in water. And if your chair is turned, you hear the voice saying, "Repent." So what does repentance look like? It's preparing the way of Yahweh, making straight paths for Jesus. Prepare the way from heaven to earth. Straighten all the crooks and turns of your life. Level hills, fill in valleys, smooth washboard roads. Would you shower, shave, groom to meet the president? Would you clean your house, your garage, mow your lawn, pick up the trash to welcome him? I think you would. Do you think meeting the Lord Jesus requires less preparation? Think of all the spiritual trash you've got laying around. Think of those sins of thought and word, let alone deed. You don't think they leave a mark? If you only meet your Lord every now and again when you feel like it, when He comes in word and sacrament, do you honestly think you even know how to prepare? Are you one of those people who think, "Well, this is how I dress, this is what I wear, this is what I look like, deal with it"? Now, that may cut it in these postmodern times when wear clothes is the only dress code. But if you think you can meet God Almighty with, "I'm sorry, this is just the way I am," not only have you not heard the voice, but you're not repentant. The forgiving waters of baptism are not running over you, but dirty, soiling sand is. So, your chair turned now? If so, listen to the voice indicating a new reality for penitent sinners. It's called terraforming. Terraforming is a science fiction concept dating to the 1940s. It's physically reshaping a planet so that it becomes Earth-like and able to support human life. Terraforming is a good picture of the power of the gospel to make a totally new reality. Long before there was a sci-fi concept, it was a biblical picture. Isaiah 35 speaks of God coming to rescue you, which results in the desert rejoicing, in flowers blooming in the wilderness, and the wilderness becoming as fertile as cultivated fields, streams of water flowing through the desert, burning sand becoming a lake, dry land filling with springs. First, the voice shoves you, your face right into the reality that sinning against your baptism and repentance means you're living in a desert. You need to prepare for Yahweh and to straighten the paths you have made tortuously crooked by your sins and sinfulness. But then the voice switches from imperatives, which are law, to indicatives, which are gospel. You must prepare, you must make straight paths. Well, that gives way to every valley will be filled in. And not only every mountain, but every cotton-picking hill shall be made low. The crooked will be straight, and the rough smooth, and all flesh will see the salvation of God. You're not hearing gospel if you think the voice is giving you a plan for preparing to meet your God. Yes, he orders it. Yes, he demands it. Yes, he requires it. But then he switches to two future passive indicatives to what will take place. Every valley that you have dug with your misbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice, well, that's going to be filled in by Jesus' blood and righteousness. Every mountain and hill that you have created between you and God by your arrogance, your pride, your greed, your lust, your gossip, well, that's going to be leveled by Jesus' holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. If you can see, there is no way that you can prepare the way for the holy God to get to you, and there is no way you have the ability to make straight paths for God in flesh and blood to meet you, you are ready. You are ready to hear what the gospel indicates. The road you made crooked by your lying, faithlessness, and excuses, that's been straightened out by the cross of Jesus bulldozing out those twists and turns. And as for those roads made rough by your misusing the Lord's name or by hallowing your name instead of his, well, Jesus' blood has paved them smooth. Terraforming is a physical picture of a spiritual reality. We get a pale picture of this in Austin most years, when wildflowers explode across barren fields, or when, after months of drought, the Highland lakes fill up. In your baptism, which is the forgiveness of sins, you have been washed in to this new reality. By faith, you are to see a new reality. Here, Yahweh walks with you in a new Eden, and Jesus is your good shepherd. And this reality is literally for all flesh. Usually when scripture uses flesh, it is describing man according to his fallen nature. God's salvation then is not just for holy people, not just for good people, not just for whom you think it can be, but for all flesh, all mankind, all sinners. The voice says it this way: all will see for themselves, all flesh will see the salvation of God. People think Christianity is an internal thing, an otherworldly thing. The voice says, all flesh will see God's salvation. What did Simeon say when he scooped up the baby Jesus into his arms? He said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. And when do we sing those very words in the liturgy? After God Almighty, once more, in the person of Jesus, has come down to our altar and into our very mouths in the Holy Communion. Simeon's song has been part of the liturgy of the church since the 4th century. The Spanish liturgy from the 5th to the 7th centuries, they placed it just where we sing it. And the Lutherans have been singing it in their liturgy as early as 1525. You see, we're back to history. The voice was predicted in 800 BC, and we have a real physical copy of that prediction from about 125 to 100 BC. We have a first century historian dating the arrival of that voice with a precision equal to any of his peers. And you, 1,969 years later, you hear the voice live. Did you turn your chair? You know why they turned their chairs in that show? To see the singer. Not here. We turn to see God's salvation, having seen him not only in our flesh and blood, but on our altar and even in our hands and mouths, we depart in peace into a terraformed reality. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.